Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's up, movie lovers? It's your girl, Rossi, and I'm back with another awesome review. You guys, I saw this really good movie on Hulu, and it was called No One Will Save You. I don't know if you guys saw that yet, but let's get into it. Let's discuss. I really like this movie, guys. What's up, movie lovers? So I hope everyone's doing good on this beautiful Wednesday. Tonight, I'm sitting by myself. I really wanted to discuss with you guys this movie that I happened to be watching on Netflix, or I'm sorry, not on Netflix, sorry, on Hulu. I was up one night, like I normally do, looking for just different movies, and I came upon this movie. It's called No One Will Save You, starring Caitlin Dever. If you guys have seen Booksmart, which was a really good comedy, or let's see, it was a Last Man Standing, you know who she is. And of course, a litany of a bunch of her movies that she has starred in. She is definitely someone to pay attention to. She did a great job in this movie. Anyways, so this movie is on Hulu at the moment. It is a horror, sci-fi, thriller. It deals with, of course, UFOs. My favorite topics, I love the topics of UFOs and just that whole conspiracy situation, whatever you want to call it. It's very interesting, an interesting topic. So I didn't know at first that this movie was going to be a UFO movie. I was kind of hoping, or it could have been a ghost movie, but it is a UFO movie. So a little bit about it. So you have an exiled, anxiety-ridden homebody must battle an alien who's found his way into her home. So that's what the movie's about. And there are some surprising things about this movie that, as I talk to you guys about it, I'll bring up things that I didn't notice until like midway through the film. And just to let you know, I'm just going to talk about the film, not in any particular order. I'm just going to talk about the film. All right. So it is not going, it's going to be a spoiler review if you haven't seen it. Okay. So anyway, so we start the movie. It's this beautiful small town. It's a fictional town. It could be like somewhere in Louisiana. Oklahoma, but a really beautiful small town. And young lady who, Caitlin, her character's name, Bryn, and that's who she plays. So you see Bryn going through her normal everyday life. She lives in this really beautiful big home, old home, and she's by herself. She doesn't live with anyone. And we'll talk about why that is. Anyway, so we'll talk about her riding her bike. She's riding into town, and it's really odd because as she goes into town, you notice that people are staring at her, just kind of giving her looks. Everyone who she drives by, you notice that as you're watching a film. And of course, you're wondering, what did she do? What's going on? Really odd, but I noticed that. And you'll see people like in the background, staring at her as she rides by. So I'm thinking, being that we know that she lives in this huge house by herself, that her mother died and, it happened recently. That's what I'm thinking, like, as I'm putting it together, of what could be the reason why they're staring at her. Anyways, so she's coming into town to do something. I think she's going to the post office or something. Anyways, she gets off her bike and she's walking to the mailbox to drop something off in town. It's one of those small towns where you got to ride all the way in town to get to the general store, post office, all that. And so she sees this, this police officer with this woman walking, and she kind of ducks behind a car. And you're kind of like wondering, what the hell did she do? Like, why is she hiding? So, you know, something bad has happened. Okay. So she's hiding from this particular couple, the sheriff and this lady that's walking with the sheriff. So as they go away, she's kind of like having a mini anxiety attack as she sits behind the car. So she eventually works her way back home. It doesn't come up. There's not a flashback scene yet. So we don't know why, but we know that obviously she deals with anxieties. Something happened in that small town. She did something or something happened to her, her family, for everyone to act like this, like I said, as she's riding by. Anyways, fast forward, we're back home. A beautiful house. She lives on just a lot of land, just one of those homes where it's a beautiful home and it's surrounded by trees and there's so much land. As she's riding home, though, she sees there's this guy that's, I guess, with a dad or anyways on the lawn. And I'm pinning that because I think they had a relationship, because she sees him, and as he sees her, he like walks away, turns his back and walks away really fast. So just pinning that happened. Okay. Anyway, she's at home and, you know, you're welcome into her home. It's beautiful. Like I said, it's one of these old homes. She's getting prepared to bed down for the evening. And as she's going to bed, it looks like her childhood room. So obviously I think this is a house that her mother left her. She's a young woman, probably 25, 26. It seems like she's about that age. Anyways, though, so as she's in her bed, she hears something. And it sounds like someone has broken in. So she's laying in bed, frightened. And you guys know when the scene is kind of like when you were like 8 or 9 years old. And I don't know if your imagination was like my imagination as a kid, but I was always thinking that like there's a boogeyman under the bed or someone's going to get you in a closet. And so, you know how you're gripping your sheets and your blanket because you hear something, like something frightens you. Okay. That's what she's doing. So a little bit later, she works away and kind of gets out of the bed. And as she gets out of the bed, she's standing at the top of the stairs. And so the camera angle is facing the front door. Okay. But there's clearly someone coming through or in the kitchen. Someone's already down there, but you see, through a mirror, you see this image of this little person, this small thing. I don't want to say person, this small thing. And she sees it and she kind of jumps back and kind of ducks down. She's then standing there and she makes a move. And remember, guys, I'm bringing up the fact that the house is old because it creaks, you know, how the house settles, it creaks. So she slips on her slippers, puts her slippers on, and kind of is tiptoeing back to her bedroom and shuts the door. She's in her bed. She goes back to her room. She gets in her bed and you hear something walking up the stairs, coming closer to her room. And let me just tell you guys, it is so freaky. And just to let you guys know, I'm going to go back to the fact that when I told you guys, 8 years old in bed, just an imagination. And so, you know, boogeyman under the bed or coming out of the freaking closet. Okay. Scary. Even though I love horror films and I watch horror films and I can literally watch like a horror film, scary as hell in the dark, you know, you still, there's that little girl still in there, just still spooky. Like, dude, if I turn the lights off and the house is really dark, like I'm a little bit afraid of the dark. I will be honest with you. So her feeling that, and like I said, she shows her emotions so well without saying anything, to where you feel that. And as whatever it is gets closer to the door, she jumps out of her bed and gets on the side of her bed. It opens up the door. As it opens up the door, she goes underneath her bed. Dude, the craziest thing. She's underneath her bed. You're praying. You don't know what it is. I was scared. I know, you know, the person I was watching the movie with, he was even like, I was looking at him. He was freaked out. Then whatever it is, jumps on the bed and it makes this clicking sound. Now, you guys know in alien films, they always have the sound of an alien always is this, you know what I mean? Kind of like that. So that sound is going on and I'm literally freaked. Bryn, who's underneath her bed, is freaked. Then the thing gets off the bed, walks around, and you see its feet. And it's not of this world, okay? So just a little bit. So you know how films like this, whenever there's an alien, you know how they won't show you the alien? They'll show you maybe an eye or something like that, but they won't show you the alien, okay? So you see the feet, and I remember the feet. I think the fingers, the toes look like fingers, okay? And she is doing that so that she won't freak out, so she won't, you know, release any sounds, won't make a noise, okay? So she's doing this. This thing opens up her window, jumps out of her window, and I think there's this, like, big light or whatever. That's a lot. That's a lot, okay? That's a lot. So at that point, we're like, oh, my freaking gosh, there's an alien in a freaking house. Never seen a movie like this one. So fast forward, she lays there, she's under the bed, she sits there, she's listening. She gets up, she leaves out of her room, opens up the door, leaves out the room, and she's kind of going towards the stairs to go downstairs, and she looks, and you don't see anything. You don't hear anything, but the thing is still there, okay? It absolutely is still there. So she goes downstairs, and as she goes downstairs, the thing is outside. And so she sees that it's outside. Remember, because it jumped out of her bedroom window. Her bedroom's on the top floor, so it jumps out of the bedroom window, and it has, like, the, you know, the top of the house where, you know, you can climb out of the window and stand at the roof, you know, the lower roof part. So we know that it's either still up on the roof or it's down there, but it hasn't left yet. Okay. Because there's a scene where she's walking by and she sees something. So as she walks by, the thing is outside and you can hear it coming back, like, towards the inside of the house. And so she's walking around, she's checking everything. And in this scene, all of a sudden, the electricity comes on, the TV comes on, the phone starts ringing, the different lights in the house, everything starts coming on, and the TV's so loud. And then there's just this, like, this white noise sound that's going on. She hears that, she freaks out, you freak out because it happens kind of sudden, okay? You freak out. She's running through the house. And the refrigerator's open and crazy stuff is going on, kind of like in a ghost film, okay, where their energy is turning lights on and all that stuff, okay? It's not that. She runs in the kitchen. She is starting to close everything up. The thing comes back in the house. She hides behind the refrigerator underneath the table. She's right there. And so she's standing there, and this thing comes in, and full body now. This is an alien. And I must say, guys, they did an awesome, awesome job on the graphics on this alien. It didn't take you out of the film. Like, it looked like it was there. They did a really good job. And I really appreciate the fact that they showed us the alien. It's not a, you know, you have to guess or you think about what it looks like. Like, they showed you that. And it wasn't goofy or cartoonish. Like, it was just simply what you would think you would see, what we've all been told what they look like, right? They did. It's that look, the big head, the, you know, the small body. And you know, some of the aliens, as we talk about this film, you know, there's different sizes. They get bigger. It's craziness, absolute craziness. So this is all happening still that night. It comes inside. She's behind the refrigerator. She's like just knelt down in the corner, scared shitless as we are watching this. And I promise you, you will feel every emotion that I felt. You will feel this emotion, absolute fear. I was scared. Okay. Fearful. That's what I wanted to say. Anyways, though, at some point, it does discover her and there is a battle, a complete battle. It flies her and throws her across the room. It has telekinesis, so it's able to do things like that. Anyways, they get into this huge fight, this huge squabble. She ends up killing him, though. She hits him on the back of his head with something. I forget what it was, but she kills him. Okay. So he lay there dead in her hallway. And oh, yeah. As she's running out, because she's like running to the front door. As she runs to the front door, he like snatches the front door. And anyways, it hits her in the head. She passes out for a little bit. She gets back up. And I believe that's when they got into it. Regardless, though, how this scene ends is she ends up killing that alien. Okay. So that alien is laying on the floor. And what's really cool about it is its body's green, but as it lays there dead, it turns like this white color. So that happens. Wake up the next morning. She did not remove the alien. It's still in her house. She has a towel or a blanket over it. She gets up the next morning because she's getting out of, and just let you know, this fight lasted all through the evening hours. Absolutely tore up this home, tore everything up in the home. And just to let you know, there was like this village that she had, it, you know, like those little Christmas villages that you can put together and they have little lights. And it's like this, it's like a miniature version of her town. Okay. That's her hobby. She was really into that and adding on new pieces into this village. And, you know, if I remember, I think that's what she was going to the post office because she got a new piece to go with this village. Anyways, the whole thing lights up. So, all right. So it destroyed everything in the house. So she gets up and she gets on her bike and she starts riding into town. As she leaves, because obviously she's going to get help, as she leaves, she rides by the mail truck, and the mail truck is turned upside down. Like it was just attacked. It turned upside down. She's riding by other homes and it looks like other places are disturbed. Okay. And just, I want to also bring up this in the beginning or towards the beginning of the film, she has this like this little garden out in her front lawn. And in the garden, there's like these circles, you know, remember the old crop circle guys? There's a point in the film where you get a bird's eye view of the town. And when you get a bird's eye view of the town, and it's actually when Quinn is at, or no, I'm not Quinn, but Bryn is actually going into town, you get this bird's eye view. And as you look down, there's crop circles, like little circles, okay, in people's yards, okay? So whatever it is, they landed in everyone's yard. It wasn't just her, okay? Just to let you guys know. So she goes into town, and remember when she first went into town, something was going on. The town's not feeling her, and she's not feeling the town, all right? She rides into town to obviously tell someone what's going on. She gets to her small town. She gets to the center of town, and everything seems fine. She goes into the police station, and when she goes in there, she runs into the sheriff, and it happens to be, I believe, the sheriff's friend, wife, whatever. She freezes up. She just stops. Nothing said. They look at her with disgust in their eyes. And the wife, the woman, looks at her and just kind of and spits in her face. Nothing said. And they walk off. So at that point, you're like, I'm like, what did she do? What did this girl do to these people? Like, it's bad. So now I'm like, okay, it must have been like a drink and driving thing. Like, she seems to be a teenager. Maybe when she was, you know, she was younger, she got in a car, she killed something happened. Okay. So, or her mama or her daddy did something. Okay. That's what I'm thinking. Anyways, and we'll find out and I'll tell you guys, of course, later what happened. All right. So spits in her face. She cleans it off, walks out of there and just, you feel so bad for her. All right. Because you don't get a sense that this is a bad person or she did anything bad. You get the sense that this is just like a normal 20 something year old, you know, young lady that probably lost her mom and just, you know, and that's, you know, she's exiled in that house. Okay. And away from town. Okay. Anyways, though, so that happens. She has this idea of, she sees this bus drive by as she's leaving out of the police station and she's looking at this bus and you can tell that there's an idea that comes up. And so next scene you see her, she's on the bus and this is like, it's what she's doing. It's like, you know, forget them. I'm out of here. I'm getting a ticket. I'm going to another town. And I'm thinking, when a woman spit on her, why are you still in this town? You know, because every time she goes to town, like, they're looking at her like she did something really bad. So she gets on the bus and she's like, you know, out of it. She's done. I'm out of here. You know, so, you know, she's on the bus and, you know, as she gets on the bus, just note something, guys, there's someone sitting way in the back seat and the camera's like, not, it's like you see him, but it's fuzzy, you know, so you're thinking just an extra. He's just, you know, we just saw him. So she's sitting there and, you know, like she's getting out of town. I think she's feeling kind of good. Like, I'm, you know, I'm getting out of here. And then the bus stops and I guess to pick someone up. And the guy that I noticed that was in the back seat, way in the back, he comes and he sits right behind her. So it's like, okay, all right, this is odd. And then all of a sudden he puts his hand on her shoulder. And this thing is moving in his neck. It's just like these wormy things that's moving in his neck. And he goes, that sound I told y'all that the aliens be making, it did that sound. And then it does that.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Damn, it starts, its body starts to just twist and do all this weird stuff. And she gets up to get off the bus. And then there's another human that also is trying to attack her. So all those people with those crop circles, those circles in their yard, those houses, they're on the bus. So they've been infected by the aliens, that their bodies have been taken over by these aliens. Okay. And that's one thing you'll notice is that the neck movements and the sound. So they're after her. She gets up trying to get off this bus. They grab her. She barely escapes, get off the bus, and they're running at her. And something had happened to make them stop. Okay. Something happened that made them stop. She gets out of there. She runs back home and she's back home at the house again. Guys, this movie takes so many twists and turns because when she goes back to her home, makes it back there, she then goes inside and she notices that, remember, she killed that alien, and she notices that there's this foam that's dripping from its mouth, and she kind of follows it outside and looks inside of these the bushes, and it's just, there's something there. Anyways, all of a sudden, you see these lights and the noise. And so she goes inside. She's hiding again. And in this scene, there's another alien that comes back to her home because there's a signal. I think in that phone from his mouth, what I got was they know that they have one that's down. So they come back to get their dead and bring them back to the ship with them. And also to get her, because at this point, they've got a few people in town. Those people on the bus, they have been taken over by the alien. So when she gets off the bus and all those crop circles that I told you that are in their yard and everyone's yard, those people have been infected. Okay. They've been taken over by these aliens, these beings. So as she gets back in the house, two aliens that are there, but what she does is she goes into her cellar. There's a basement or a cellar that's in her house. So she goes down there, locks the door, and she goes and she's walking around and hides. you hear this thing it upstairs in the house. You hear it, and then you hear it opening up the door at the top of the cellar. She hides underneath this table. She goes, the thing comes down, and then you see the camera angles where she's kind of looking and, you know, peeking around the corner and then jumping back, and you see it, and it's slowly walking, and it's looking for her, is looking for whatever's alive in that house. And remember, these things, they have telekinesis, so they're able to, whatever's in your hand, you'll find out, it can take whatever you have, it can take it away from you and bring you to them, okay? So again, she thinks she's like kind of, you know, hidden well from it. And then it starts to walk around where she's at. So, you know, they're doing the little cat and mouse game where it goes here, she goes there. It goes here, she goes there, you know, so on and so on. She then gets the scissors that she has, and the thing discovers her. There's this huge fight down in the freaking basement. Yeah, there's a huge fight down there. She ends up stabbing this one and kills this one. So body count, now she has two down and however many more to go. I don't know, but she's got two so far. Like, I think that Bryn is surprised that she's able to do this, because this, when you see her as a character, this is a very, like I said, she has anxiety, very closed in, just alone by herself. Okay. Anyways, she escapes the cellar. She comes up. There is one more that she battles that is actually upstairs, and she ends up fighting this one and getting this one. So far, she's been able to evade and not even evade, just kill three of them. Okay. So the story goes on. She kills those. We're going to move ahead because I can literally tell you guys each and every single little thing that happens. But we do get to a point to where she does run into the people in the town. And as she's, you know, running from them, there's like this storm. It looks like it's a storm, but I believe it's the alien craft. Anyways, those people that are after her, and it happens to be the mailman, he was taken over, the bus driver, people on the bus, just regular town folk that have been taken over by these aliens. They're one point they're in this yard, and with these clouds, this whatever it is, this electrical storm that happens, they all just kind of look up at the storm, and they're just all holding their hands up. So in some type of ritual, like they're being rejuvenated or, you know, called back home. So she goes out to she ends up, there's more aliens, just to let you know, there's this huge one, this freaking huge alien. And she has to become really crafty with certain things that she does, because they really want her. It's kind of like she's the last person in town and they got to get her. So at some point, she gets out of the house, escape this huge one that is just, like I said, the graphics on these aliens are freaking awesome. It is so cool what they did, and so frightening. And one is really huge with these big arms and just absolutely amazing. Anyway, she goes out, is in the woods. She ends up in the woods. And then you find out that what happened, okay? What happened to, why the town is reacting to her like that? Why this woman is treating her like that? The lady that spit on her. Come to find out when Bryn, and just to let you know, in her bedroom, and there's another bedroom that they will show. There's another bedroom with that's kept the same with little kids' toys and stuff like that. And then you see the picture of Bryn and Maud. Okay. Now we get a flashback because Maud was a good friend of Bryn's. They were like best friends. Okay. And one day they end up getting into this argument. You see them in the woods where Bryn happens to be at this point. You see them in the woods and they're having this argument. It's all silent. It's all silent. You don't hear them, what they're arguing about, but they have this argument. Anyways, Maud pushes Bryn down. And Bryn looks over and there's this rock. She gets up and smashes Maud in the side of the head, and Maud dies. So Maud was the woman that spit on Bryn. That was their child. Okay, so that's what happened. That's why the town it is treating her like that. That's why she's exiled at her home. That's why she has these anxiety attacks and all of that. Okay. It was a two girls squabbling. And so, you know, she did that. And it looks like they had to be about 10, 11 years old. Okay. So that comes to light. One thing I want to mention is by this point of the film, you will notice that you have not heard a word. There has not been a word said. You're literally hearing her emotions. They did her reacting to things, reading her eyes. If she's like the bus, when she looks over at the bus, you see that she has an idea. So this film has the only two words were spoken, and I believe it was "I'm sorry." That's it. The freaking film is silent. The score was done so well because when there was a part where there's a lot of anxiety and whatever. The music plays along with that. So that's your voice for the film. It's the music, you know, and her reacting to everything. Caitlin Dever, she did an amazing job not speaking, but two words, "I'm sorry," in this whole film, okay? So that's something that I didn't notice. I didn't notice until, gosh, I think when she went to the police station and the woman spit on her, that I noticed, wait, they haven't, no one's talking. No one has said a word, not even on the bus. So that's something, pay attention to that. No words spoken, only two words. "I'm sorry." So anyways, after this is explained, you see the flashback, you understand what happened. You're like, oh, okay, that's why they're treating her like that. She killed a little girl, her best friend. Okay, that she obviously, you know, has paid for. Okay. Anyways, at this point, she's, this cloud is coming towards her. This, you know, the alien ship is coming towards her. And she's running. She's trying to get away. She's fought so hard. She's killed three aliens already. She's trying to get away. There's a point where they get her. The beam of the alien ship beams down and she's taking up into the ship. And that's another cool thing is we get to go up into the ship. And so she's in the ship and you just see, it's real dark, but you see just thousands of aliens. And then they gather around her and she's muddy. She's, you know, she's just beaten up. Okay. From just, you know, this two nights of horror of fighting for her life, you know, killing one down, you know, and then another one comes, you know, blowing one up in a car. You'll see that one too. And like, they're just like, so much she's gone through, but they end up getting her. So she's sucked up into this ship, bring her up there. It's freaking awesome the way they did everything. You see hundreds of aliens, okay? And then you see, and then there's some that gather around her. And as she's kind of magnetized or strapped to this pole, they're just looking at her and they're staring at her. And then one looks into her eyes. And one looks into her eyes and sees what she has gone through, sees her memories of Maude and her, sees her memories of when she lost her mom, sees all of that, basically sees what she has gone through. And they're just all just around her. And guys, y'all, they did just such a good job. I'm telling, wait till you see the aliens, wait till you see it. It does not take you out of this film. It's like, it's real. You're just captivated by all of it. And at this point, you know, it's like, you realize how much Brynn has gone through throughout this whole film. Like, you, at some point you're thinking they got her, they're going to get her. And when they get her, like I said, they're studying her, going through her memories, just everything. And then one says something to the other says something to the other. And then you just see her falling out of the sky and landing on her grass in her front yard. You see that. She's obviously, they let her go. And at that point, you're like, this is over with. So she lands in her front yard. There's a point where she wakes up. She's in her bed, that bed that she was in when the alien first came. Her home, she gets up. Her home is all put together and everything's back to normal. There was a really cool part, and I have to bring this up, and I totally forgot about this. There was a part, guys, where she almost got God, and she was in her house, and there is this beam. Remember I told you they have telekinesis, they can control whatever you have in your hand, whatever you, So anyways, there's this point where in her home, when they did finally, this light finally landed on her. And when the light lands on you, you're just kind of frozen. Okay. So she freezes up and she's being lifted up and she's at the top of her ceiling and she's looking down. And then what the aliens wanted was they wanted for her to, they wanted to put the thing in her, like implant themselves in her. And there was a point in the film where they were able to do that. It was in her. But when she got up that next morning, she was able to get it out of her, to pull it out of her and to kill it. Okay. To kill what was in her. And then, so she got it out of her at some point, but she did have it in her. You see her neck. And then I'll just go back to the ending and you guys will fill in that part. When you see it, you'll then see what I'm talking about and other parts that I didn't bring up because there is so much. But anyways, I am going to skip and get to the ending. So anyways, they didn't want her. They let her go. She wakes up. Her home is everything is back to normal. It's like nothing ever happened. Her village that I told you, the little village that she collects little pieces and puts them together, that everything is back to normal. Everything. So then there's like music is on. She loved music, by the way. She loved dancing and all that type of stuff. So anyways, it's a beautiful day. She goes outside and there's like this potluck, this block party that's going on. All her neighbors next door, the people in town who didn't talk to her, they're all there. They're dancing. She's made up beautifully. The boyfriend who I believe it was her boyfriend who broke up with or whatever, he's there. And remember, there's a scene where you see that he was taken over as well. He was implanted as well. And they're all just, there's food being made. People are dancing, having a good time. The townspeople is there. The sheriff is there. And then as she's dancing with the one beau and dancing with this one girl, they're all dancing. You notice that they're all still aliens. They show that they still got that going on. And then the film goes off with everyone dancing. It was the weirdest freaking ending ever. I loved it. Absolutely weird. There's a lot that I left out that I didn't tell you guys about. This was a really good film. The film is called No One Will Save You. That's what the film is called. It's a PG-13 film. Awesome sci-fi film. Awesome thriller. Awesome horror film. And like I said, only two words spoken. I'm sorry. Whole film. Nothing. Nothing, no words. Awesome film. Absolutely love this film. So happy that I just happened to play it. And what's funny about it is, you know, I was scrolling through and I had seen it. I'd seen it advertised, but I never saw the trailer. And then finally, I'm like, what is this about? And I hit the trailer. And once I saw the trailer, I'm like, I didn't watch the whole trailer. I'm like, I'm here for it. Caitlin Dever did an amazing job. Like I said, what a great actress. The film takes you on a ride with her and it's like you're trying to escape and you're so happy because you know she's a badass, like she kicked ass in this film. And just the writers, the cinematographers, sound, all of that, the score, everything was done perfectly about this film. And I do want to read you guys, you know how I love little fun facts about films. And I have to say thank you to Look Back Cinema. Zoe, he does that on his podcast. And so I thought that was a good idea. So I thought I'd start doing that as well. Anyways, here's one thing. Here's trivia. Okay. So just 3 days after the film was released on Hulu, Stephen King gave it the highest praise on his Twitter account, where he posted this comment: "No one will save you. Brilliant, daring, involving, scary. You have to go back over 60 years to a Twilight Zone episode called The Invaders, a 1961 episode, by the way, to find anything remotely like it. Truly unique." All right. And he posted that on the 25th of September, 2023. You can find that on No One Will Save You's IMDb. And that's what Stephen King said about it. And I feel the same way. It was a great film. If you haven't seen it, go to Hulu. Watch it on Hulu. No One Will Save You, starring Caitlin Dever. I'm so sorry, love. You did an amazing job. You guys will really love this film. I give it a 10 out of 10. It gave me everything that I would want in a film about UFOs. It was just really good. And the fact that not a word was spoken other than, I believe, two words, "I'm sorry." And she said that when she was apologizing to her friend Maude when she had a flashback or a dreamy sequence. All right. So anyways, guys, I appreciate you joining me tonight. I hope you really enjoyed this review. I thought I'd sit by myself with you guys and kind of have a more intimate setting, just the two of us or whoever's watching or listening. To you podcast listeners, I really appreciate you guys checking out John DeGregorio with Movie Lovers Unite, Alex Haynes, A-Town Reviews, and The Multiverse of Geekdom there and In the Front Row with Jamie. It's a list of podcast shows that I really enjoy. You guys go check them out. They're on all social media. And again, if you're listening to us on the podcast, please give me a 5-star review. Tell me what you think about this. Hit me up in my email, rossitalks@gmail.com or movieloversunite@gmail.com. Tell me what you think about this film. And if there's something out there that I missed that you guys would like for me to review, you know, send me an email and I will definitely do that. Anyways, guys, I will see you Monday. I am going to be interviewing the Oscar qualifying film, the director, producer, writer, Sabina Vashrasha. She has a film out called Sevak Misfa, A Good Deed, an amazing documentary film, great writer. And that review is up on the podcast. Also on, you can watch the review that John and I did on our Movie Lovers Unite channel or the Rossi Talks channel. Check it out. Awesome short film. And I will be interviewing her on Monday. I'm looking forward to that. On the 18th, I have my guys back. Multiverse of Geekdom. Eli Barquis, a.k.a. Trust, will be joining me on our video game segment. And we are going to discuss the Assassin's Creed franchise, where we're at and where it's going, and also discussing the new Assassin's Creed that's coming up. I love Assassin's Creed, so I cannot wait to talk about this game series. I appreciate you guys. Be good to each other. Have a good week. I will see you all on Monday. Oh, wait, I'll see you guys. Yeah, I'll see you guys all on Monday. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.